The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord, this is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you can join us once again for the Netcast, and today we're going to be picking up with a brand new topic that we're going to have continue across several Netcasts, maybe as many as three, depending on how long the announcements take and how much I can get in to this particular show. But so stay tuned. We're going to be talking about the topic of faith is a choice. Operating in faith, believing the Word of God, is a choice on your part. And so you need to make the choice to stay with the Word of God. And so we're going to get right into that. But first of all, I want to talk about, of course, SpeakFaith.tv and give you the updates for SpeakFaith.tv. We've had some exciting additions to SpeakFaith.tv, not the least of which is Revival Radio TV with Dr. Gene Bailey. Now, as far as I know, no relation between Dr. Gene and myself, but except, of course, in the Lord. And he is a brother in the Lord, and I've met him, talked with him. I really appreciate his work and what he's doing to chronicle the history of the Word of Faith movement and teaching in the world and the history of revivals. And so I encourage you to check out Revival Radio TV on the SpeakFaith.tv Roku channel. All you have to do is connect to SpeakFaith.tv, or remember, you can watch it on your computer by going to SpeakFaith.tv, as it says there on the screen. Go to that address and then click on the video option over on the left-hand side in the column, and then you'll be able to actually view each of the programs right there on your computer, on your tablet, on your phone even, whatever you have that can connect to the internet. So you really need to avail yourself of the opportunity to check out that program. And then, of course, we also, I believe I mentioned last time, we've added Mark Hankins, and we have added Keith Moore's regular weekly TV program, as well as his Faith School, which was already there on SpeakFaith.tv. So we've got a lot of new programs. We're really excited about that. Also excited about Word of Faith Radio. This weekend, as I record this, today is September the 20th as I record this, this weekend at Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina, we're going to have a Word of Faith Radio rally with Lynn and Kathy Meek. And so I encourage you to come out to that meeting. That'll be at 10 o'clock in Concord at Word of Faith Worship Center. And really, I encourage you to come out to that meeting. It's going to be an exciting time. And Jim Howard and myself and Harold Cagle, president of Word of Faith Radio, we're going to share how the Lord brought all that together, brought us together with a divine appointment for Word of Faith Radio to be created. So that's going to be a real opportunity for you to get in on some of the history of Word of Faith Radio. So let's go right into our teaching now that we had just last night as I record this at Faith and Victory Church. All righty. Well, Pastor asked me to come tonight and teach, and I'm glad to do that. He wasn't going to be here, but he is. So, praise the Lord. But we're gonna get into the Word. Let's just open up prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We believe to receive from your word. We believe, Father, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of the true of the church, the true teacher. And so, Father, we just open ourselves up to him to receive revelation knowledge from your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So what I thought we'd do tonight, be it a Wednesday night, and you know, we call it the hour of power, is we're going to do a little review on faith. No surprise there, because I love teaching on faith. But let's go to Luke chapter 11. And as we do that, if you want to turn to Luke 11 and also Mark 11, of course, we got to go to Mark 11 to talk about faith, because that is the scripture Brother Hagin wrote. A lot of people think that. They really do, but that's okay. Let's, matter of fact, let's start Mark 11. I said Luke 11 first, but let's start Mark 11. We're going to just read the whole teaching of Mark 11. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, go your way over to the village against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you'll find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat, loose him and bring him. If any man say to you, why do you do this? Say unto the Lord that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without a place where the two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, what do ye loosing the colt? I mean, it'd be like today, walking up to a car, jumping in it, start cranking up. People look at it and go, whoa, guys, what you doing? Taking my car. Yeah. And so, as the Lord told them to do, they said, well, they did even as Jesus commanded, and they let him go. They said, the Lord has need of him. Well, wouldn't that be nice? Jump in a car and take off and say, the Lord has need of him. I think there was something supernatural at work here. I think the Lord was leading them and the people that owned the colt. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, they let them go. And then verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus. They cast their garments on him. He sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. Let's see. My mouse jumped here. Let me. Verse 9, and they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when they looked round about on all things, now the eventide was come, and he went unto Bethany with the 12. Now, kind of set this up. We're reading this out of the King James, but just to kind of set it up. Jesus, you might say his headquarters for this missions trip or this ministry trip was in Bethany. That's where he was working out of. Now, Bethany is a suburb, essentially, of Jerusalem. And that suburb is, about a 30-minute walk away, thereabouts. And so they had to leave Bethany and go to Jerusalem. Then, as they ministered there in Jerusalem, they had to leave Jerusalem and go back to Bethany. So basically what it said here is when the eventide was come, when it started getting dark, he went back to Bethany, back to home base, with the 12. Verse 12, and on the morrow, when they came from Bethany, so they left their ministry headquarters there, so to speak, there in Bethany, and start for Jerusalem. This is in the morning. And it's morning. Jesus is hungry. He wants to have breakfast. He looks over off from the road, and he sees a fig tree. And now this fig tree had leaves. Now, basically, if you know something about fig trees, the leaves don't bud out until it's ready to have fruit. So the tree was basically demonstrating, saying, if you will, by manifesting leaves, that it had fruit. So Jesus, being hungry, says, hey, I'm just going to leave the path here, walk over off the side of the road to this fig tree. I'm going to get something to eat. So he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, you might say, well, why did Jesus expect there to be figs if it wasn't the season for figs? Well, because he saw the leaves. The tree was saying, in effect, if you want to look at it as the tree talking, but you know what I'm saying, it was demonstrating, I should have fruit. So even though it wasn't the right time, Jesus expected to find figs there. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now, I've always wondered about this phrase, Jesus answering said. The tree didn't exactly talk to him, but the tree was in effect talking to him or demonstrating that it should have figs. It was kind of lying to him, if you will. So Jesus answered and said to it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And you'll note it says his disciples heard him. So he wasn't mumbling. He wasn't like a lot of people, you know, stupid tree, ought to have figs and it doesn't. No, he wasn't doing it that way. He actually intentionally spoke words to the tree. Now, I don't think Jesus ever did anything haphazardly or lightly. You got to know that Jesus chooses his words and chooses when to speak them. He knew, I believe, that he was going to use this as an example. He probably also was frustrated with a stupid tree not having figs. But I'm sure he thought to himself, well, this will be a good opportunity. You know, he's always looking for word pictures, always looking for ways to teach the disciples. So here he is talking to the tree, loud enough that the disciples heard it. Now remember, he's walked off the side of the road to do this. So the disciples, I suspect, were still on the road kind of waiting on him to come back. And so they hear him from all the way over wherever he was off the road with his tree. So apparently, like I say, he didn't whisper it. He didn't just mumble it. He spoke directly, specifically to that tree. Well, the disciples heard it. Fine. What happens? Then they came to Jerusalem. So he gets into the city where he's going to minister that day. And he does in a very powerful way. It says, when he was come to Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple. He began to cast out them that sold and bought the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house should be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now the thing about that phrase, astonished at his doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. So Jesus didn't just walk into the temple early that morning, toss over some, tables, and then leave. He spent the day teaching. And the people there heard his teaching and were astonished at what he was teaching. They were astonished at his doctrine. I believe he spent the whole day there teaching because this was the evening. He left Bethany in the morning. He spoke to the fig tree. He goes to the temple, does whatever he does there at the temple, and then it says, and then even was come. So apparently, he spent the whole day there in the temple. Now I believe he spent it teaching, ministry, probably healing the sick, because everywhere Jesus went, he preached, he taught, and he healed. Those three elements are the elements of Jesus' earthly ministry. Brother Hagin's pointed that out many times. Preaching, teaching, and healing. So that's what I believe he did while he was there in the temple during the day. The day passed, even was come, and they went out of the city of Jerusalem. Where did they go? Back to Bethany. So they go back to headquarters. Now remember, this is just headquarters for this particular ministry trip. And so they're there in Bethany, spending the night. He gets up the next morning. Where is he going to go? He's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to go teach there again. In the morning, as they pass by that same fig tree that he talked to. Now, common sense tells us that 24 hours had passed because it was the morning of the previous day that he talked to the tree. He spent the day in Jerusalem. He leaves Jerusalem, goes back to Bethany in the evening, it says. Then he gets up in the morning and he goes back, you would assume about the same time that he went the day before, to Jerusalem. So about 24 hours have passed. And as they passed by, they saw the fig tree had dried up from the roots. Now, the fig tree being dried up from the roots is an actual physical manifestation. Okay? Nothing spiritual about it. That fig tree had dried up. So something had occurred. And the disciples noticed it. And you know, Peter, being the loudmouth that he was, is the one that had to point it out. And so Peter, calling to remembrance, well, he had to call to remembrance because it's 24 hours ago, right? So he calls to remembrance. He said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, I can see him grinning, said, have faith in God. Or some Greek references say, have the God kind of faith. Matter of fact, in the Today's Living Version, there's a footnote. And in that footnote, it says specifically, have God's faith. That's pretty powerful. No matter how you look at it, have God's faith? I mean, it's one thing to talk about your faith. You know, we know that like the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus told her, woman, your faith has made you whole. But what Jesus is saying here, this is how you use the God kind of faith. What did God do with his faith? We know from Hebrews chapter 11 that the worlds, all the worlds that were created, were framed by the word of God, by the words that God spoke out of his own mouth. And that is through or by the means of his faith that he spoke those words. And as a matter of fact, I mean, we know from Genesis, you go back to Genesis and look, what did he do? He said, let there be light, and there was light. And actually, in the Hebrew, it's even clearer, because in the Hebrew, it's the one word, light, but in the present tense. So it's as though God looked into the absolute darkness, the absolute blackness, where there was nothing on top of nothing on top of nothing, and he was there, because he's always existed, and he looked out at everything, there was nothing there, and he said, light. In other words, as though he saw light there. Well, what was he doing? Romans chapter 4 says, he was calling those things that be not. Was light yet? No. Light didn't exist yet. But he was calling those things that be not as though they were. So when he spoke light, it was as though he were recognizing light. But you know, the cool thing about God is when God says something, it comes to pass. So when he said light, like present tense, light, it came to pass. There was light. So in the King James, let there be light, and there was light. Well, that's how God uses his faith. He speaks words, and he uses his faith, and his words are containers of his faith, which is the power of God. So, Jesus says, have God's kind of faith. And basically, in so many words, I'm going to show you how to use God's kind of faith. And that's exactly what he does. Verse 23, for verily or truly I say to you that whosoever shall say. Now, I've often said when I was teaching this that this is available to whosoever, but really it's not. Because one day I was teaching this and the Lord showed me something that I hadn't seen before. He said, notice it's not just whosoever, it's whosoever shall say. You can be a whosoever and not say. And if you're a whosoever and don't say, it ain't going to work. And I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians today, they understand about faith. They've read the scriptures. They've heard Brother Hagin. They know about what faith is, but they're not saying. They're not talking to things. Well, yeah, but Dr. Bell, I feel funny talking to things. Well, then you're not going to see things happen. Because you got to say. You got to speak. And that's exactly what he says here. Whosoever shall say, so it is available to the whosoever, if they're willing to say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, we're going to come back to that, and shall believe, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now we've read that, I don't know how many thousands of times we've probably read that. But have you really thought about it? Believe that those things which he saith. Now, I was, again, it's funny to me how as a teacher, I learn a lot when I'm teaching. Because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the teaching, and he'll use my mouth and he'll say things, and I'll, in the back of my mind, you know, I'm sitting there listening to myself, and I hear myself say something and go, ooh, that's good, I might study that out. But I heard myself say one time, you've got to believe that what you are saying is coming to pass. So in other words, it's not just, well, now I'm in my prayer closet. I'm going to sit myself down right here and I'm going to say some things. And I expect them to come to pass. And I believe I receive that what I say is coming to pass. And then you walk right out of that prayer closet. You go right out to your wife and say, my back doesn't feel good. It hurts. Well, you're still saying. You're still talking. And what you are saying is coming to pass. So if you don't want your back to hurt, don't talk about your back hurting. Talk about how it's healed, praise God. How Jesus bore your sicknesses, carried your diseases. By his stripes we were healed. And if we were healed, then I am the healed. And Satan, you can't put symptoms on me because I'm the healed of the Lord. If you want to say something, say that. Because we've got to keep saying, we're a whosoever that shall say. So it's what we're saying that's coming to pass. Now, you may go to work and you're just, you know, shooting the breeze with some folks around the water cooler. And you're just talking along and you start saying things. And there's that little prickle in the back of your head going, oh man, you shouldn't be saying this. Well, you need to listen. Particularly if you have prayed as David did. David in the Psalms counseled that what you should do is pray that a watch be put on your mouth. Now, a watch is like a watchman that's at the top of a parapet of a castle, and he's looking across the horizon, and he's seeing what's coming. And if the enemy's coming, he'll yell down as the watch, he'll yell down, I see the enemy approaching. Well, then they get ready, and they start, you know, get ready to fight, get ready to fortify the castle. So a watch is like an early warning system. So if you will pray, God will put a watch on your mouth. And he'll give you that little tickle. Now, it won't be, he won't hit you in the head with a sledgehammer and tell you, don't say that. You know, those of us in the early Word of Faith days, we were confession beepers. You know, and I still, to this day, pastor will talk, he'll be up teaching, he'll talk about being a confession beeper. And there's still a part of me that says, yeah, you know, I think we still need a few confession beepers. Because what I hear some Christians saying these days, oh my goodness, I don't want it to come into pass. You know, particularly in their own life. So, but, you know, we did carry it a little bit too extreme. There's no question. Yeah, that's what your confession is, and I believe every word of it. I mean, we used to really just jump on folks. Well, I don't jump on anybody anymore except myself. I will jump on myself. And that doesn't even require me to say anything to myself because I know what I'm thinking. Amen. So whenever I start to say something, I'll go, and I'll just try to chew those words back and not say them. Because what I'm saying is what's coming to pass. And it says here, you must believe that those things which you are saying are coming to pass. And once you do that, you'll have whatsoever you say. So we've got to believe that. We absolutely have to believe that. Now here's the thing. You know, there are people, I've heard them say, now, you know, Dr. Bill, I just can't believe that. I can't believe I'm supposed to just say certain things all the time. Or I can't believe that the Red Sea really actually split. Well, you know, they're 100% wrong. They can believe it. If they wanted to, they could believe it. Now, this is what the Lord spoke to me as I began to study for this particular message, is that believing is a choice. And that's, well, if we wanted to title this tonight, that's what we'd call it. Believing is a choice. Now think about some of the things that people believe. There are people, and I'm talking about even people who identify themselves as Christians. Now, I saw a statistic recently, and I don't know whether to believe it or not. It was not substantiated. And you can read a lot of things, for instance, on Facebook, and you have no idea whether it's true or not. But it was a statistic that somebody quoted. And it may be true, I don't know, can't attest to it. But they said 14% of people that identify as Christians don't believe that the Scripture is literal. Got it reversed. 14% believe that the Scripture is literal. The rest of the percentage, whatever that would be, what would that be? 86%. Math is not my strong suit. 86% actually don't believe the Bible is literal. 14% do. Now, I don't know if that's a true statistic or not, but I wouldn't actually be surprised, sadly. But the thing is, we've got to believe that the Bible's true. I like what I heard Pastor Keith Moore say one time. He said, do I believe the Red Sea was split? Absolutely. Do I believe Jesus was raised physically from the dead? Not spiritually, not weird, freaky, funny, ghost stuff, but he physically was raised from the dead. He said, listen, folks, if you don't believe that, you're not born again. And I'm sure a lot of people swallowed hard on that one and went, what? Because, see, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That's what Paul preached, was the word of faith. So I'm in good company preaching the word of faith. But he said, the word of faith which we preach, that, this is what the word of faith that we preach is, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as your personal Lord, and means that what follows the and is just as important as what was before the and. Okay? So believe Jesus and receive Jesus as Lord. Yeah, absolutely. Most folks go, yeah, okay, I believe that. But then the latter part is, and believe that God hath raised him from the dead. If you don't believe that, you don't meet the qualifications of Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, and you are not saved. But if you do, if you receive Jesus as your Lord, you believe God raised him physically from the dead, then it says, then you shall be, most emphatic way of speaking in English, shall be saved. And that word saved is the Greek word sozo. Now, I like to pronounce it sozo with a D because that little D is in there. A lot of people say sozo, and that's fine because the transliterated version of the word is S-O-Z-O. But in the official pronunciation of the Greek, there's a little D in there, so it's sozo, okay? Sozo means saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and delivered from all temporal evil. That's the Greek definition, the full definition. Greek words, I love Greek words. They are, as they say, pregnant with meaning. They have a lot of meaning in those words. And if we are saved, we are saved spiritually. We are healed physically. We are delivered. Well, that's deliverance from any form of problem, whether it's an addiction or, you know, satanic oppression or demons or whatever you want to look at, deliverance, saved, healed, delivered, protected, that's Psalm 91 protection, made whole, well, wholeness covers a whole lot. Made whole can be made whole even financially. But it goes on to say made whole financially and spiritually and delivered from all temporal, which is things that are subject to time, which is the world we live in. All right, I hope you enjoyed that portion of the teaching. We're going to pick up with this again next time on the Spirit of Faith netcast. So join us for that. Don't miss out on the remainder of this teaching that faith is a choice. And remember, until next time, you can contact us here. Let me get this in real quickly. Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina, 27262. You can also write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. And remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.